We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Cordell Stewart, the third best quarterback in Steelers history, joins us now. Cordell, you ever go to Gobbler's Knob for Groundhog Day when you lived in Pittsburgh? Did you ever do that?
Never heard of it. No, I never heard of it. Hi, guys. By the way, hi.
Hi, Cordell. Let me tell you, they pull a groundhog out of a stump, and if he, quote-unquote, sees his shadow, you've got six more weeks of winter up here, which pretty much happens every time.
Now that you say that, I mean, I think that's kind of a fragment of a wrong. That's a universal thing, though, isn't it?
There are other groundhogs, yes.
Yeah, but the big one is right here in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. That's where it happens.
Oh,
Punxsutawney,
really?
Philly,
they
yeah.
They have a sign that says, we are the world's,
it's the
most
capital of Groundhog
one.
Day right here. 2 hours away,
okay,
Cordell.
Okay. You know what? It's funny you say that. I have heard it, but it never dawned on me because we never had a chance to participate in the activity, if you will. But I did hear that before. Funny you say that.
One of the hosts on the morning show was an All-American player at Pitt and tight end in the NFL, and I think they celebrated his broadcast there today because he was the first man of color to broadcast from the Groundhog Day festivities.
Because it's like a big news event.
Yeah.
Where they send news trucks up.
So it was a joyous occasion for the station to have him there today, Cordell.
Yeah, great way to evolve, man. I mean, you know, it's the evolution of life, isn't it? You know,
absolutely. I mean, look at the Super Bowl. We got Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes, Cordell.
Hey, about time. I mean, you know, but here's the thing about that, man. For me, it serves a great joy for myself because that fight to get the respect and the understanding of what it means to really play the position, not the traditional way, not the way that's condemning to determine if the kid is cerebral enough, meaning intelligent, smart, serious, whatever term you use to use to indicate if the player is capable, sometimes in so many cases derived more around, especially that position, around the color of the player. And to see that happen today, knowing how far this game has gone, from where it was, the question being asked to Doug Williams, you know, when did you know you was a black quarterback? The most dumbest questions in the history of mankind, you know, to ask that kind of question. To it being that players had to change positions to utilize their talents based on the mindset, whether it be the scouts or the coaches, because their inability to coach that style, let alone that type of a player, to now we're having really an opportunity to not just see black African-American coaches win Super Bowls, whether it be your very own Mike Tomlin, to even your very own and
Tony Dungy.
Tony Dungy, there you go, Tony Dungy. To now all of a sudden it goes Donovan McNabb to now we're seeing Jalen Hurts, who they didn't give a chance in hell to be a credible passer.
Oh, some of the draft reports said make him a wide receiver, Cordell.
He'll never throw it well enough. I saw this one. He'll never, and this is, I think, what you're talking about. He'll never read coverages fast enough to get the ball out on time in the NFL, mm-hmm. which looks pretty dumb. What role do you think you specifically played in the evolution of how the league has viewed quarterbacks, African-American quarterbacks? Like, I know Doug Williams, you mentioned Warren Moon, obviously another guy who put up some big numbers. What do you
Hall
think?
Of Famer.
Right.
Randall
obviously.
Cunningham. Stud.
Randall Cunningham. Yeah. What role do you feel you played, Cordell, specifically in this process?
I think in the modern day era, I think a very big, big one. While we don't talk about it enough, appreciate you guys of sticking to it and staying the course, because it was tough playing in that city, considering I did play wide receiver, and I know there was some pundits, whether it was Ed Bouchette with the Post-Gazette and I'm calling out names because they all were writing about it, and you hear the undertone of what they didn't believe in when writing and let alone covering it. I dare you. You have the galls to think that you're going to be a wide receiver and be just as good as the Yancey Thigpens and the Charles Johnson and the Johnny Barnes and the Andre Hastings and Ernie Mills to then think you're going to be the starting quarterback on this team in this town and in the National Football League? Yeah. 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 Because the game is not played based on the complexion. It's played on the ability, but most importantly, the capabilities of retaining the information. Now, let me be fair to those players. Coming from college, there were no coaches, if you will, that had the opportunity to coach that style of player. And if you got 30 to 32 teams and only three of them in a National Football League at the time, myself, Jeff Blake, and also Steve McNair were the only starters, if I'm remembering correctly, that's only three of 30? I mean, what percentage is that? I'm not that good with math. But what percentage is that to determine if you can believe that this stuff actually works? You know, and to actually do it the way we did it in Pittsburgh, 75 touchdowns throwing, 35 rushing, and actually five receiving, you'll never see that ever again in the game. And the closest person that you see doing it right now is Taysom Hill, and he has 23 touchdowns rushing, only 10 passing and none receiving. So he's going into his sixth year, I think, in playing the National Football League. He probably will not ever be a starter for the New Orleans Saints, so he'll never see those numbers again. And so to know that that work was put in, and it was only, as I always say, tolerated and not celebrated, yes, it was a big, big part, and it started in your city, and I think we should be proud of that city nowadays. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go ahead and say it now. Nowadays, since it's appreciated, it's tolerated, it's celebrated, and we're now getting a chance to see it in its upcoming Super Bowl, which is phenomenal within itself because Jalen Hurts was thrown to the wolves and the dogs and saying what he couldn't do, and he's talked about being the MVP of the National Football League. And correct me if I'm wrong, it was he, Joe Burrow, and the receiver Jefferson out of Minnesota, and this guy right here is the last one standing. He has to be the MVP of the National Football League.
We're talking to Cordell Stewart. Cordell, you brought up media criticism and fan criticism when you were playing here. Did you feel like that impacted you on the field? Did it hurt you on the field?
Well, not them per se. Here's the concoction and the moral conflicts of energy that you have, especially in something as controversial as my career was. Not based on me, just how it was covered and looked at. Because I just use my abilities that God gave me. So why should I be condemned because I have the talent and I want to prove a point that I'm not just a very good wide receiver, but I can also play this position and be very good at it too as well. You know, the career that I had in Pittsburgh was remarkable to me. I had a chance to do something that I think we've all done growing up as kids, which is just play the game to have fun, right? To be able to do it on that level in that city with former teammates that I had, like Ariel Solomon, Charles Johnson, Joe Steed, Chad Brown, and Deion Figures, to then do it with the great Rod Woodson, Greg Lloyd, so on and so forth, Neil O'Donnell even, who's a good friend that I talk to often, love him to death because I had a chance to turn into Flash because of this guy, and everybody else who I didn't call out, even Coach Cowher and everyone else. But when you have as much against you when it comes to that style, the question becomes, when playing and you're playing very well, is it enough? It never was enough because they had a chance to see me do the other stuff so well. And so when you gauge it and you grade it with a different finger / style of ink or even pen or pencil to determine how do we grade it. Because if we take the game that I played way back when and you put it in today's game on television, even for the Super Bowl, for the NFC, AFC championship game. Now, remember, going back, let's go back a little bit more. There were 6 years where I started at quarterback. I had four different coordinators, and we went to two AFC championship games. It was on the ballot as an MVP, I think fourth on the ballot in 2001.
You got four votes. That's four more than Big Ben.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, and at the same time, that was the year where the power running game wasn't in because of injuries. So they had to rely on my ability to work with the other players like the Chris Fumatumalfallas and also the Amos Airways. And that was my best year of my career there in Pittsburgh, completing over 60% of my passes. So with that, you say, okay, did we allow this actual action to truly develop, right? You got 6 years of starting quarterback, 4 years with different coordinators. Your best year was when you had a quarterback's coach in Mike Tom and Tommy Clemens in 2001, and then the rest was history of just getting me up out of there. So the question becomes, was it really given an opportunity, or we gave it a chance and it just wasn't what we wanted because that wasn't what we were doing? And you know, I'll leave that for you guys to respond to, but the fan base was excellent. Let me be honest with you. I don't care about the backlash of how some of the crazy stuff was going on, but the fan base was excellent. Like, the people were excited when we were winning, and they were frustrated when we were losing.
Man, I'm surprised to hear you say that, because Chris obviously lived through that, and Chris, you know about all the slings and arrows Cordell got.
I thought you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was I was 12, 13 for the first, you know, for 97. I was 12 years old. But I mean, I remember thinking even back then, just the vitriol from some fans, and it was like a minority of fans was awful. But
right.
You know, Cordell, on the whole topic of like how you were received, what you say, the fans largely very positive, media, they were covering you a certain way. I don't think I've ever asked you this. How was the reception from your teammates, the buy-in, the belief from teammates who maybe hadn't played with a guy who was playing the position of quarterback the way you were playing it before? Did you have to win over teammates in a way that other quarterbacks maybe didn't have to?
Well, all due respect, you know, I had to play the game the way I needed to play the game and make sure I did everything I needed to do to make it work. My teammates were supportive. They can only be as supportive as the opportunities that are given. You know, so if I'm going to the bench for Ken Graham, guess what? You got to do what the Romans do in a sense, right? You know, if everybody's taking their shoes off, we got to take our shoes off. If Ken Graham is the starting quarterback, hey, we got to support that. If Tommy Maddox is the Mike Tom's out, gets the quarterback. I mean, we got to support. So they're at the mercy of whether it be my play or decisions or whatever the case may be. But when it came down to playing the game, the support system – for me, in my mind, was there. Did I have time to determine who liked me, who didn't like me, or who liked the style, who didn't like the style, who was for me or who wasn't? I wasn't paying attention to that, guys. I had more issues to worry about. Coach Cowher sending my butt to the bench for throwing an interception, man, you know, and putting Ken Graham in the game, and we know how that worked out, right?
Not well.
So, not well at all. So, you know, you had to take, you know, again, let's be transparent. It hadn't been talked about. People don't want to talk about it, but it was a very controversial time because it wasn't one that was accepting of my style. Because I was told by, you know, whether it was the coaches or management or whomever, Cordell, you could have gone to the Hall of Fame as a wide receiver. I've heard that before.
Dan Rooney felt that way. At least he's been quoted as saying stuff like that.
Yes, he did. Coach Cowher even said at the Pat Summerall event where he received an award here, he said, my best receiver on the field was playing quarterback. Now, listen to this. I'm going to say it one more time. My best receiver on the field was my starting quarterback. Think about that for a half a second. Your best starting receiver is on the quarterback position, but he is the starter of your team. So what does that say about the talent of the player?
Yeah.
You can't minimize it and say, well, he should have played wide receiver. It would have been the best thing for him because he could have gone on. No. Okay, true. Thank you. But he was your starting quarterback. So when you put that in perspective, that is a dynamic player that at the time, the trust wasn't there and the ability to keep it consistently on the field, as we've seen with Andy Reid a multitude of times with Donovan McNabb, with Michael Vick being incarcerated for 18 months and being, I think, what, the comeback player of the year, maybe the MVP, going to the Pro Bowl, to now he hasn't having Patrick Mahomes. So it's like it's an evolution of the perspective of that position nowadays to where it's tolerable to where when speaking about it on the radio, you have people who are speaking about it astutely and not recklessly and undermining. It's not so much what they're saying, it's what they're not saying, right? So the comeback to Yancey Big Ten, I talk about all the time. If you listen to the commentary, wobbly throw, incomplete pass. All of a sudden, it's completed pass, great catch. But I only could throw it to one spot because the Hall of Famer and Ty Law was blanketing him like a blanket, literally, to where it couldn't be thrown to only nothing but one spot. So it's different today. It's different today. And I'm happy to see it. Overdue. It's something like
Cordell, I want to ask you, because you brought his name up, Neil O'Donnell. Now, Neil O'Donnell came up on our show this week because of what happened in the AFC Championship game with Joseph Asai and how that play with Mahomes, you know, he's getting even called out by one of his teammates as they went in the locker room, getting treated like he's an all-time GOAT in Cincinnati because they say, well, that, if he doesn't do that, they maybe win that game in overtime. We know what happened with Neil O'Donnell in 95 in Super Bowl 30 with the two interceptions to Larry Brown and the way Pittsburgh football fans now remember him as a result of that game. Does he still bear that burden? Does he still carry that around? You just said you still talk to him. Is Neil O'Donnell still, does he still beat himself up over that performance in Super Bowl 30?
Now, Bill's living, Neil O'Donnell living his life, man. You know, he's working and taking care of his family where he's living, and he's doing his thing, and it's not like he doesn't care, but, you know, you can't change it. It's something that I'm sure he has to deal with in his own right, but, you know, there's a lot of quarterbacks that played in that game, including myself, not that game in the sense of starting at quarterback, but playing in that game, an AFC Championship game where there were mistakes that were made that, you know, deep down inside you wish you could have back, but at some point in time, we got to understand that somebody's going to win that game. All right? Somebody's going to win that game. You hope it's you. There's a 50-50 chance that you're going to win that AFC Championship game to get to the Super Bowl. You just hope it doesn't come down to one of those faulty type plays that you're going to have to sit on and sit with for the rest of your life, especially if you don't have a chance to go back to that game. And, you know, Neil never had an opportunity to go back to it. Every time I see him, somebody says that we're going to be at an event together. You know, Neil's always telling them to tell Cordell what's up, and I always go back to tell that person to, you know, tell Neil what's up, or I'll text him and say, hey, buddy, what's going on? So, you know, Neil's living his life, man. You know, life goes on. And I'm not here to speak for him, but to understand him, I can only go off of what I know.
Yeah.
But Neil's living, man, you know, and it's unfortunate that that was a moment in our lives, and I'm sure if we can rewind it again, I'm sure it will be different. If I can rewind some moments in life, in a couple of those AFC championship games and some of those championship games I had in high school to Little League and middle school, which I didn't lose too many going up to high school. I didn't lose too many. I won a lot of them. But, you know, you wish you can have those chances back, man. And, you know, can't cry with spilled milk. It's over with. Got to keep it moving. Short-term memory. On to the next thing.
One-word answer, Cordell. Who wins the Super Bowl?
Philadelphia.
Let's go.
Boom. Okay.
Cordell, it's always a blast to talk to you. It's been so fun to get to know you this football season. Let's keep doing it again in 2023, okay?
Hey, guys, just reach out. You know where I am. You guys got my number, and let's make some magic again, guys. It was a pleasure, man. It was a pleasure.
See you, Cordell.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.